Okay, so we are going to continue with Rapinkus, but we have a little change tonight, and up until now, we have been learning from Rapinkus' Sefer on Chumash, and tonight we're going to be switching gears a little bit and learning from his Sefer on Yamim Tovim. So this is what the volume on Yamim Tovim looks like, and there's several volumes on the different Yamim Tovim. This one is on Yom Nairoim. So we're going to start tonight learning a little bit about Elul, because we're already about at the halfway mark of Elul. There is a beautiful piece here in Rapinkus about Elul, and let's see it. Derech ve'ir. B'divrei ha'navi, the Navi in Malachim Beis says, Yesh Nabita, there's an expression, Loizah derech, but loizah ha'ir. This is not the path, and this is not the city. Nitan lomay midvarim elo shel hanavi shekadei lahasig matara kolshi b'chayim yesh lekvaya meroish heines hamatara veheines hayemtzam hanachayim hamavilam elaha hayemtzam lomatarim aderech hamatara atzma. This is a very basic principle that Rapinkus is teaching us tonight, and I think it's something that we all probably know intuitively, but it's also important to chazer. And that is that the Navi says that this is loizu aderech v'loizu. There is, in everything that we do in life, there is a derech and there's an ear. And that means that there is a road to take. And where is the road leading you to? The road is leading you to a city. If I want to travel from here to Baltimore, so I have to take the I-95, and that will lead me to Baltimore. Now, if let's say I'm just stop driving, and I have no idea where I'm going to, then I'm on a derech, but I don't know where the ear is. And very often in life, we do that. We have we're doing things, we're on a road, we're doing stuff every day. We wake up and we have a routine, and we do what, you know, we think we're supposed to be doing. And then if you stop yourself and you ask, where are you heading? Like, where is this taking me to? I don't know. And so the Navi is basically telling us that in everything in life, there's a derech and there's an ear. You have to figure out where you're heading, and then you have to take the road to get there. If you're on a road without a destination, that's not good. If you have a destination but you have no plan that's mapped out about how to get there, that's not good either. You need to have a road map, and you have to have a destination. You have to have something, you know, to use, I guess, a modern technology, you know, when you have Waze. Before you even start Waze, it's not gonna, you know, you can't just say, okay, let's put on Waze and start driving. It has no idea where you're going. First, you have to, you know, type in a destination, and once it has a destination, then it can calculate, and it could take you on the road. But if you have no destination, then there's no road. The road has to lead somewhere, and if it doesn't lead to somewhere, it's not a road. So you have to know what is the derech, and what is the ear? What is the way that you're getting to your goal? And what is the goal? And if you don't have both of those things really clear, then everything is sort of a waste of time. How does this pertain to where we're holding right now? Resh Chodesh Elul hu tchilasei shel derech. Resh Chodesh Elul is the beginning of a road. It's a path. Ulam haderech yarucha. And it's a very difficult road in both Echos and Kamos. That means that there's a lot to be done during this time of Elul, and there is many days to do it in. It's a pretty long period of time. Tamruya derachim etzim imei chaydesh Elul. Tkiya shayfer, l'davar Hashem ayri. There is slichais, Rosh Hashanah, aseres imei tshuva, yom kippurim, sukkos, Hashanah Rabbah, v'simchas Torah, meaning there is Elul, and it's not just Elul. When we speak about Elul, Elul doesn't end with Rosh Hashanah. Elul is really a process that starts Rosh Chodesh Elul, and it goes beyond Rosh Hashanah. There's Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Yemei Tshuva, Yom Kippur. Sukkot is also considered part of this season. And it culminates with what? With Simchas Torah. So it's basically a very long period of time of the year. It's probably about, I don't know, maybe a tenth of the year that we're engaged in this period of introspection. And we do a lot of things. There's a lot of halachas that are pertinent to us during this time of year. There's, in fact, a whole sefer, a very classic sefer that's written just on this period of time, from Elul until through Sukkot. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes it all the time. It's called the Matah Ephraim. Matah Ephraim is a sefer just for this period of time. And the reason why I bring that up is because the Matah Ephraim was written by somebody that I'm a huge fan of. And if I don't write biographies, but if I would write a biography, that would be the biography that I would write. I would write about the Matah Ephraim. Anyone know who wrote, besides from Meir, who wrote the Matah Ephraim? Nice try. Meir was getting excited. Put him down right away. The Matah Ephraim was written by anyone? Something? No wrong answers? Reb Ephraim Zalman Margolius. Reb Ephraim Zalman Margolius was a very, very interesting personality. And the reason why he was such an interesting personality, and he wrote the Sefer Matah Ephraim, which is the go-to Sefer for this time of year. If you want to know the halachas of all of the, you know, Shofar and Elul and Ladavid and Sukkah, all these days is all spelled out clearly in the Matah Ephraim. And Rabbi Ephraim Zalman was the Gadol Hadar. He was one of the great Paiskei Hadar. But that wouldn't make him too interesting because he lived in the time that there were many Gedolei Hadar. He lived in the time of Reb Kiv Eiger and the Chasam Sefer. So he lived in like the Dar Deya. He lived in like an extraordinary period of time. And he was somebody that was on that level of godless and Torah, which makes him great. But that's not why I would write a biography about him. The reason that I like him so much is because he wasn't only one of the top tier Gedolei Yisrael. He was also the richest man alive in his tkufa. The richest man alive. He was kemat, I don't know if he was the richest, but he was like, if he was alive today, he would be like worth probably $100 billion. That's cool. If you could be, you know, it's one thing, it's cool to be Reb Kiv Eiger and it's cool to be Jeff Bezos, but imagine if, la'avdil, you're able to combine Jeff Bezos and Reb Kiv Eiger, that's really chashub to me. Maybe that's a chisaron to me, but that's really chashuv. So this Matah Ephraim, this Reb Ephraim Zalman Margolius, was a person who was an incredible human being. He was able to master Torah. He was able to correspond with the likes of Reb Kiv Eiger and the Chasam Sefer and Halacha and go toe-to-toe with them. And he also had one of the largest banking empires and business empires in the world. They tell an interesting story about Reb Ephraim Zalman that he had like a butler, as you'd expect him to have, and in his mansion. And he told his butler that in the morning he learns. This is what he does. He sets aside a time from, I don't know how long he learned, but let's say from 7 in the morning until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He locked the study door where he learned, and he told his butler when he was hired, never interrupt me. This is time that I have earmarked for learning, and I don't want to do anything else. I don't care, you know, deals, shmeals, money, shmoney. I want to learn during that period of time. Okay. So, and that's what he did. Every day, he would lock himself in his room, learn, steig, and then at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, he would come out and do a minimal amount of banking, to keep his business going, and I'm sure he delegated a lot of responsibilities to others, but he would, you know, keep tabs on what was going on and get involved in some of the deals in the afternoon. And one day, at like 11:30 in the morning, when he was deep in the middle of learning, there was a knock on his study door, and it was the butler. And Reb Ephraim Zalman like looks up and says, yes, is there a fire in my house? He says, no. He says, so what are you interrupting me for? So he said, well, Bill Gates is here to see you. Whatever, the equivalent of Bill Gates, b'shaitai. And he says that he has the deal of the century and that you're going to want to, you know, interrupt your Talmudic studies to talk to him. So he says, didn't I tell you that I'm not to be disturbed no matter what? He says, yeah, but this is like a different sug of a deal. This is a different type of deal. This is like a, you know, $100 billion deal. This is like, you know, you could like literally, you know, quadruple your wealth with one deal. That's what he told me. And he said that, you know, you'd probably want to be interrupted. He says, I don't want to be interrupted. Tell Mr. Gates that at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that's when I meet people. And right now I'm secluded. I'm doing what I'm doing. And that was the end of the conversation. At 3 o'clock, he comes out of his office and he said, is Bill Gates coming back? So we would like the story. You're probably rolling your eyes. Yeah, of course he came back. He made the deal even better. He had so much respect for Ephraim Zalman that he was a man of principle. That's not how the story ended. He said, yeah, Bill Gates told me that he will never, ever do business with you again. He was fuming mad that you couldn't take a few minutes out of your schedule to meet with him. He came all the way, you know, from Seattle to meet with you here in Brut in the middle of Europe. And that's it. You lost a $1 billion deal. I hope, you know, hope was a good sugya you were learning today. So you would think that Rabbi Ephraim Zalman would be very upset and disappointed. But in fact, he started dancing and singing, and he was like overjoyed with simcha. And they asked him why. And he said that when you go up to Shamayim, so how do you evaluate the mitzvahs that you do? Is it like a one-size-fits-all if we're all, let's say, learning for Seder and Beis Medrash? When we go up to Shamayim, do we all get the same exact amount of units of pleasure or schar, or is everyone different? And he says, everyone is different. And how do you know, the difference between two people? It's how much you invested in your learning. How much were you willing to give up for your learning? So he said, up until now, it's not clear how much I was willing to give up, but today I've shown the Rabbeinu Shalom that it's billions of dollars that I gave up for my learning. That means that I have automatically attached a price tag to my learning in Shamayim of like billions and billions of dollars for every hour that I'm learning. And so I've been kaveya that as the value that I put on. Depending on, sometimes we give up learning for very cheap. Sometimes, you know, if we have an opportunity to let's say we want to, instead of learning, we want to go and eat breakfast together in a restaurant with our chavrusa. You know, today, well, let's go to Dunkin' today for first Seder. Okay, that's fine. But what you've basically done is that you have said, okay, you know what my learning for an hour is worth? It's worth, an iced caramel latte and a Boston cream donut. That's what it's worth. Okay. So when you go up to Shamayim, you're going to expect to get Kisei HaKavod and Schar and Malachim flying around you, giving you who knows what. And they're going to just give you like a lot of Boston cream donuts and lattes. It's worse than Gehenna, but it ain't what it could be. And everybody has to decide what they're willing to give up. The more that we sacrifice for learning, the more schar that we're basically establishing as our baseline for what our Torah is worth. This is true for everything. But this is what Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius, one of the many lessons that he teaches us. So there is a long road from now until Simchas Torah. Kulanu makir mes tamurei haderach ves haderach v'yaydim shalein olam haTorah yais v'asmado. We all know that during this time of year we're expected to learn Torah with Hasmada, and Yaidim Shaleinu Lamai Pedvarim Betalim, we have to try to curb our Dvarim Betalim, the schmoozing that we do, the idle chatter. Yaidim Shrosh Hashanah Hu Yaim Naira V'ayim, we know that Rosh Hashanah is an awesome day, Yaidim Shasara Simechuva and Yam Matsum Shalsiat Dishmaya. We know Asara Simechuva are tremendous days of heavenly assistance. We feel the Rabbeinu Shalom very often if we're good during Asara Simechuva. The Yaidim Shem HaKippur Hu Yaim HaKadosh. We know the Yom Kippur is the holiest day on the calendar. Kulanu Yaidim Es Hadar. This is the road. This is the road that we have to take. These are, you know, the stops that we make along the road. We have to load up our car, and we have to listen to Shofar. We have to say L'David Hashem Erev Yishri. We got to say Slichas, not this Sunday, but next Sunday. We have to get ready for Rosh Hashanah. We have to get the Shofar, the Machzer, the apple, the honey, the Simanim. We have to get Aser Simei Tshuva on the road. We got to do Yom Kippur with our Machzerim, with our Inuyim, with our Viduyim. That's the road of a Mahia ear. But if I were to ask you, what's the city? What's the destination? Where are you heading? What are you plugging into your GPS? At the end of the road, what's there? What is the proverbial pot of gold at the end of the rainbow? What's there? What are we going towards? What's the goal of this road? That's a question that we have to ask ourselves. We're just busy with the road, and we have no idea where we're heading, we have no idea what the destination is, then it sort of is a big waste of time. What's the road? Where is it taking us? So if somebody were to ask you, okay, it's so nice that you're doing all these things during Elul, you're so serious during Elul, and you're crying on davening, and it's going to be Avinu Malkeinu's, and Tkiyas Shofar, and Kol Nidrei Ne'ilah, for what? What are we hoping to get from it? We're on a road. What's the city? Where is the destination? Maya matara elah anu shayafim lagia biyam niflam elu. What's the end game here of these wondrous days? Var anu mechrochem lekvaya latzmenu may matarasenu. Lezir anu reitzim lagia shem loikein loyal manigil shem. If we don't know where we're heading, we ain't going to get there. So tonight, let's try to figure out in one sentence what we're going towards, what we're doing. May. Is that you? Okay. Anu mispalim avino malkeinu na'al tishivenu reka mufanecha. So we daven avino malkeinu, don't send us home empty-handed. Don't let us go home empty. Without a clear destination, we have no ability but to go away empty-handed because we don't know where we're going. So he says something very interesting. I would have said something totally different, but that's irrelevant. This is what he says is the ear. This is the destination that we should be aiming towards. This is the, when you boil down all these millions of things that we're doing or we should be doing during these days of Elul. And people really took Elul seriously. There were Gedalei Musar that they made a Tainus Dibur during the whole month. I think Rav Elia Lapian, did not speak a word from Rosh Chodesh Elul until after Yom Kippur. He didn't say a word. He put on his shtender, I don't speak during Asar. You can't talk to me. He didn't speak for a month. And many, many, many other tzaddikim. There's a big avaida to be done here. Whether we take it seriously or not, that's up to us. But you should know that there is a lot of avaida to be done. There's a lot of introspection. There's a lot of getting more serious about life and about who we are and what we are. There's a lot of road over here that we should be busy with. But what is the end goal? That's always important for us to know. What are we shooting for? What are we aiming for? Bine b'seif ha-derech. Achrei chayrish elo, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, v'sukkos, magiyah simchas Torah. You have to look at the end of the last page of the book. What's the last page of the book of this tkufa? Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah is, that's the, you think it's ne'ilah of Yom Kippur, but it's not. It goes beyond. And we go into a period of from fear, we sort of transition into joy, and that joy finds its climax on Simchas Torah. And what do we say on Simchas Torah? Nog liftayach b'pasuk Ata haresal adas ki Hashem hu elokim einayin melvad. It's a pasuk in Devarim, and that's the way we all know. You know, they bid on it, right? And ata haresal adas. What does that mean? That's the first pasuk of all those important psukim that start the hakafas. What does that mean? Ata haresal adas. Ata haresal adas is einayin melvad. That we have to know, ata reis ladas, you have shown us to know, you have mandated that we know that Hashem hu elokim, Hashem is our God. That's how we end off Ne'ilah, right? Hashem hu elokim, you say it seven times. But einayin melvad, there is no one and there is nothing else but God. That's the climax of Simchas Torah. And that's not just the climax of Simchas Torah, it's the climax of this whole road. This whole road is basically to get to one yesod in our brains, to make it vashevaisa levavecha, to understand and to let it go into our hearts and into our minds and into every fabric of our very being, that einayin melvad, that there is nothing but the Ribbono Shel Olam in this world. And we think, well, do we have to go through a whole 40-day, 80-day, whatever, 60-day process for that? Isn't that a davar pashut? It's not a davar pashut at all. Because there's so much out there in this world that lures us towards it. And it's very, very easy in this life to get seduced by the Eitzahara and by the world around us into believing that there's so much out there. There's so much fun to be had. There's so many taivas to be filled. There's so much pleasure to be attained. There's so much excitement out there. There's a lot of money to be made. There's a lot of toys to buy. There's a lot of people to meet. There's professions to conquer and real estate and stocks and bonds and money and shopping and internet and Facebook and there's so much out there. There's so much more than just the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's good for 10 months of the year, for 10 and a half months of the year. But for 1.5 months of the year, we focus, or we're supposed to be focused, on getting to the obvious conclusion, or hopefully it'll be obvious at the end of this road, that it's all baloney. That this whole world is hevel havalim. And that really, when it all comes down to what's important in life, there's one thing and one thing only, and that's the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is really what the Rambam writes. The Rambam says that even though that's Kiyas Shofar on Rosh Hashanah is Gzeiras HaKasuv, it's a Gzeiras HaKasuv, which means that if you'd ask me, why do you blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah? You know why? Because the Ribbono Shel Olam says blow a shofar. The Ribbono Shel Olam would say, you know, blow a tuba, blow a ukulele, whatever, you'd have to do that. So it's not a question, why do we blow a shofar? It's a Gzeiras HaKasuv, the Rambam says. The Rambam says, you blow a shofar because the Ribbono Shel Olam says that on Rosh Hashanah you're supposed to blow a shofar. But, says the Rambam, I could give you a remez yeshba. There is a deeper understanding. If you're looking for like the shayrish or the mitzvah, you're looking for a tam of why we blow a shayfer, I'll give you the tam, says the Rambam. Uru yishenim mishinaschem. Those that are asleep, wake up. It's a wake up, it's an alarm. The shayfer is supposed to jolt you into a recognition that it's time to do tshuva. Elu hashaychem Es ha'ilam behavle hazman, they forget about their real purpose in life because they're so enamored by the zeitgeist, by the trivialities of life. And the shofar comes and says, wake up and smell the coffee. It's all nothing. It's not real. All these things, the havle hazman, are nothing. The World Series and you know, whatever it is, the movies and the exercising, which is important, but you know, if it's a religion, it's too much. And whatever it is that we have, everybody has their own hobbies, the things that they love to do. And I'm not saying that that's not important. Everybody should enjoy, you know, life in a in small ways, it's good to have something that you're excited about and, you know, you like doing. It's not saying that you should never, you know, follow sports. You should just, but understand that if it's a vice, it's a vice, but that's not life. Life is not my baseball team. That's not my life. If I enjoy watching baseball as a pastime and, you know, it's an escape for me and it's a relatively kosher escape, okay, fine. You know, if you like boating or if you like playing ball or you like going hiking or you like going swimming or you like playing basketball or you like skydiving, whatever it is that you like, good. But don't think that that's the main purpose in life. That's just something that I happen to do to help me live. But the purpose of life and what life really is, when I ask you, if I wake you up at 3 in the morning and say, what's life? The right answer for us, Einad Malvade. Life is that there's a Rabbeinu Shalom and there's really nothing else in life but Him. That's my life. My life is dedicated for the Rabbeinu Shalom. And that's the end of the road. That, says Rav Pinkus, is where this road is heading. That's the ear that we're heading towards. And that's what culminates on Simchas Torah. Who would know that that pasuk that most people are, you know, are not even paying attention to, that's the ear. That's the whole, this whole road led to that pasuk of Ata Reis Ladas, you have shown me, you have mandated, Ki Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem is God, Einan Mavad, there's nothing but Him. Everything is the Rabbeinu Shalom. This whole world is just the Rabbeinu Shalom. But what do you mean? I could see the skyline of Manhattan. What are you going to tell me that's nothing? Yeah, it's nothing. It's nothing. Everything is about the Rabbeinu Shalom. Does that mean that I don't have to work? Of course, you have to work. You have to get a job. You have to get married. You have to have kids. You have to go shopping. You have to cook. You have to clean. You have to eat. You have to sleep. But it's all to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom. Whatever I'm doing has to be for one purpose and one purpose only. Einad Malvade. It's a declaration that the Rabbeinu Shalom is it. That's it. That's how my life is. That's my ear. Whatever I'm doing in life, what are you going for? What's your profession? A doctor, a lawyer, a plumber. Why are you doing that? Well, to make money. Okay, fine. Why do you want to make money? Well, I want to be able to get married. Okay, why do you want to get married? To have a family. But why do you want to have a family? The answer is because I want a family, because I want to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom as He wants me to serve Him. The Rabbeinu Shalom wants me to have a family. The Rabbeinu Shalom wants me to have a wife. The Rabbeinu Shalom wants me to have a house. The Rabbeinu Shalom wants me to have a shul. The Rabbeinu Shalom wants me to have a yeshiva. He wants me to have a chavrusa. He wants me to build a mikvah in town. He wants me to build a Beis Yaakov. These are things that I have to do, but it's all for the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's not, I'm not going to work so that I could buy myself a sports car and keep it parked in my garage. That's not why I'm doing that. I'm not going to medical school so I could have MD plates and feel gaivadik. I'm trying to do things lemancha. I'm trying to do this for the Rabbeinu Shalom. This is all for you. Whatever I'm doing in life is for you. When I'm eating, it's for you. When I'm sleeping, it's for you. When I'm davening, it's towards you. Whatever I'm doing is for you. If a person can say that, then you're a tzaddik. Where did I get that one from? You know, the first Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, the very first Ramah, which is the gloss on Shulchan Aruch, in the Rashi letters, in the Mechaber, what does he start off with? Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samet. I place Hashem before me constantly. That's the ear. The first thing, the first halacha you start with, is always place the Rabbeinu Shalom before me. Whatever I'm doing in life, whether I'm eating, sleeping, wherever I'm going, I have to know that the Rabbeinu Shalom is why I'm doing everything, and He's always here. And everything that I'm doing is for Him in one form or another. And the Gra says on the words of the Ramah, the Ramah continues, Hu klal gadol b'tayra uve mailas ha-tzadikim. This is the mail of tzadikim. Now, it sounds from that Ramah that it's one of the things that a tzadik checks off in his box. You know, a tzadik has to have a big shtreimel payas. And then he has to, give poor people a lot of money, his own food, and he's got to, you know, start a gemach in his house, and he has to have shivis hashem l'negdi samet. If you look in the Bir Agra puts in one extra word. When it says, Uva Milas HaTzadikim, he says, Kol Milas HaTzadikim. Meaning, in one word, what is a tzaddik? How do you define a tzaddik? A tzaddik is Shivis Hashem Negdi Samed. That's what a tzaddik, the difference between a tzaddik and everybody else is not all the things that you perceive a tzaddik to be. A tzaddik is somebody that knows inherently and instinctively, Ein Ein Mavadim. There's a Rabbeinu Shalom and everything that I'm doing is for him. That's the point of Elul, and that's the point of Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Mitzvah, Yom Kippur, the days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, Simchas Torah, Ein Ein Mavadim. That's the Avodah of these days. All that we're doing, the learning, the davening, the Musar Seder, the slichas, and the this and the that, and the fasting, and the not fasting, and the, you know, all the things that we're doing, we're following the Mata Ephraim, every step of the way, it's all for the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's all to realize in a concentrated form that everything is the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's what El is. If I'm not talking for 40 days, you better believe that I come away with a heightened awareness that there's a God in the world. Why else am I not talking? If I'm hearing a shofar every day for 30 days, and that's supposed to awaken me to the realities of what life is, that is a musar shmuz in Eid Mavadai. I'm saying svardim, to me svardim are like, you know, everyone should stand up every time a svardi walks in the room during Elul. I don't think I would be able to do this. A month of slichas from Rish Chodesh Elul, do you know how superhuman that is? We're all krechtzing, you know, for like the few days that we have to do slichas. And, you know, svardim start a whole month. What?
It might be a bit easier.
What?
Ashkenazi slichos weren't as depressing. It'd be a bit easier.
Sad.
We don't eat rice on Pesach, so we don't have to. That's not mine on this. Anyway, but there's, but this is the Aveda of these days. You know, slichas, you wake up every morning, svardim wake up 7 o'clock and cry to the Rabbeinu Shalom in slichas, or they sing, or whatever they're doing there. You know, there's something that it's an awareness that, why am I doing this? Why am I waking up so early? Why am I saying all these extra prayers? Because there's a God in the world, and I'm going to face Him soon. I have to recognize what He wants from me and what He doesn't want from me. It's all about Ein Ein Mavadai. That's the city that we're driving towards. That's what we plug into our GPS every morning of Elul. Until we get to Simchas Torah, and then hopefully we don't leave it at Simchas Torah. We continue the road throughout the whole year. You know, Rav Gifter, I think Matzah Yom Kippur, he already started, you know, he started like crying and doing, and they asked him, what's wrong? He says, I'm already doing tshuva for next Elul. Says, you know, next Yom Kippur is coming. He already started doing tshuva Matzah Yom Kippur. It's a long road, but the road is not to be depressed and not to be despondent and not to be nervous. It's a road of Ein Ein Mavadai. That should be the ultimate goal that we are having during this time period, says Rav Pinkus, to figure out how best we can materialize this concept of Ein Ein Mavadai. Look at Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius. He was a billionaire. He had all the gashmis in the world. It was all nothing to him because Ein Ein Mavadai. Maybe that's why he was the one that wrote the Sefer Mata Ephraim, because it's during this time that he shone. His whole mission in life was this period of time. He showed that whatever he did, those billions of dollars that he made, wasn't for his own personal satisfaction or glory. He used it all. He used it all for Torah, for Kedusha, and he understood Ein Ein Mavadai was the call of these days, and that's why perhaps he wrote the book, the defining book of these days was written by none other than him, because he showed that everything in life, no matter what we're doing, we want to make a lot of money, great. You want to be find the cure for cancer, great. You want to, you know, build a skyscraper, great. You want to do, you know, be a starting center on the Cavs, great. But do it lemancha. Do it for the Rabbeinu Shalom. Do it because Ein Ein Mavadai. And if you're able to have that kavana, that everything is for you, then whatever you're doing in life is a huge mitzvah. Whatever you're doing, you could transform everything you do in life to the greatest mitzvah, as long as your kavana is Ein Oid Meldadeh.